بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، So we began some time ago the discussion on the final days of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one important aspect when it comes to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and studying the sirat, here we learn that to fall in love with any person, you have to study him. You have to understand, study him. His sirat and surat. Sirat and surat. There's two words that ulama use. Sirat refers to the inner part of the person internally. What was the person? And surat is outer, external. And this we can understand now, especially in our period of time, how the youngsters are studying all these different type of celebrities. And how they fall in love with them, from their hairstyle to their diet, the type of gymming they are doing, the type of how many kilometers they're running, and they're cycling, they know everything about them. And they love them to the core. And they follow them, like, subscribe, whatever it may be. This should actually be only and wholly and solely for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We study the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam as we ought to study it, then it will only follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But you can see the ummah right now, who and who they're following. That is why our Honorable Shaykh Azamah Abdul Hamid Sahib says, barakatuhu, he says that we're supposed to be the imams and not the muqtadi. It's like now the seeing are following the blind. مَثُلُ الَّذِي يَذْكُرُ رَبَّهُ وَالَّذِي لَا يَذْكُرُ كَمَثِلِ الْحَيِّ وَالْمَيِّتِ. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said the example of the living and the dead is like the one that is making the dhikr of Allah and the one that is not making the dhikr of Allah. So in the broader aspect, they say the kuffar don't make the dhikr of Allah. So they like, maybe they are dead. The mu'mineen make the dhikr of Allah, they have life in them. So Hazrat explains over here, we are the seeing. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he brought complete teachings of Sharia till Jannat. And Allah Ta'ala gave us the title of Khaira Ummah. You are the best of nations. Allah Ta'ala made you the imams of the time. But the imam is following the muqtadi. This is called khilaf al-mawdu'. This is now contrary, opposite to what should be the norm. What will happen if the imam follows the muqtadi? Namaz will break. Muqtadi says, Nara takbir, Allahu Akbar. And he was going to ruku. Imam Sahib follows him. What will happen? Well, namaz will break. This is happening now. They saying jump. What we are saying? How high? He said, I get off, security check, bichara, we have to listen. Because we lost our title of imamat. So we have to study the sirat of Rasulullah and understand Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in order for us to fall in love with him. If we don't study his life, it's impossible to fall in love with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because we don't know him. So the more you study, Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi, great ashiq, and Nabi alayhi salatu, how many kitabs he wrote? Just on the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he explains also, as a young boy, he says among the first kitab that he picked up was a kitab called Khairul Bashar, the best of mankind. He said when he read the kitab, he says, my heart just moved. Who is this man? He must have been 11, 12 years old. But he says the impact he had on me, he says now, later on in my life, I've come to this conclusion, which should be every person's conclusion. He says, for any child to prosper morally, ethically, to have correct mannerism, to know how to be a human being, see, there's only and only one way to instill that in a child is by teaching him the life of Rasulullah. Without that, it's impossible to make him a true human. If you're a human, just outwardly, but inwardly be an animal. You won't have these qualities. Because, as Hazrat says also, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala say, O Nabi of Allah, La'ala khuluq, Allah comes to show uluwiyat, to be upon something. So you are, literal meaning, you are upon magnificent character. So what ulama explain is, ala means as if you are the rider and character is your conveyance. That's what Allah Ta'ala has given you. And Hazrat says so beautifully that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the franchise of good character. If you want it, you have to go to him. There's no way else. He's got the franchise. There's nowhere else you can learn it from. But then we have this objection sometimes that the non-Muslims, they're very well behaved. And you hear parents saying, they send our children to white school because very well behaved. They got good akhlaq, good character. Yes, they have it, they learn it. But Hazrat Subhanallah explains, this good character they have, a mannerism, is up for the pleasure of Allah. It's for dunya matlab. It's to make the dunya. It's to make the. They said our children are going to learn also. And how to display good character to make a dunya. Whereas a believer displays good character because it's a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah loves this. Loves good character. And the Hadith Sharif is explicit also. That the weightiest thing on the day of Qiyamah, on the scales on the day of Qiyamah, the weightiest will be good character. There's nothing that can equal that in weight, good character. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding. So one reason why we study the Sirat is to fall in love with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there's so many different departments. Shaykh Abu al-Hasan al-Nabi rahimahullah has written numerous kitabs introducing the humanity and the ummah to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to different avenues through his kitabs. One is the Sirat, the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he introduces the ummah to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam through his du'as only. Look at the du'as he made. And look at his foresight when he came to du'a for the ummah, what he made du'a for your rozi, for your family, for your children, for your qabr. All comes in one du'a. It's so comprehensive, jawami'ul kalim, as they say, that the entire ocean, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, put the entire ocean into one glass. He says, now enjoy it. Otherwise, to make dua for your whole akhirat, how much dua you'll have to make? And for your dunya, he put all in few words, and he says, this is jami' dua, a very comprehensive dua. So through his duas, he introduces the ummah. This is your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then through his character, and through this, and through that, different kitabs he wrote, is written, just to study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And secondly, ulama say also, that those that are going through depression, those that are going through depression, can't cope with life. Life now has all different challenges. And how normally you should be coping with certain norms that will take place in your life. Death is going to happen. You are going to lose somebody. Sometimes an accident, bound to happen. Loss of a child, maybe sustenance also. But these things are bound to happen. A normal human threshold to sustain or to sustain the impact of this. Some people don't have it. Just beyond them. Right? And they can't manage it. Just can't manage this. But it's a normal thing that is going to happen. Allah Ta'ala pre-warned you. But I just can't manage it. It's a person out of his wits or her wits, fall into depression, can't handle it. And the mind is racing only in the negative direction. So here ulama say the best ilaj and treatment is read the seerah. If anybody had to be depressed in life, was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What didn't he go through? Every single test you can think about, he went through it. Whatever it was, whether losing his father, born a yatim, then being sent away as a young child, away from his mother, for tarbiyat, suckling, learn the Arabic language by Halima Sa'adiya, then brought back, then living in the shadow of his grandfather, then losing him, then his uncle, then losing him, and then Amul Huzn took place, the year of grief, then being ostracized, boycott, sanctions. You know how trotting that is now. Whereas the cries of the children of Sahaba Ikram in that gorge of Abu Talib could be heard in the gullies of Makkah Mukarrama out of hunger. Mothers had no milk to give them. It happened to them. Gaza already took place there. No food. And they say, in Urdu they say, ke ghalla ka aana jana band kar diya. For grains to go in and out from that gorge was absolutely closed. Nothing. Now and then they had to smuggle food in. They got some relatives out of the gorge. And they felt pity. Their mother will cook something. Tell a little child, do like you're playing, quickly go and deliver it. Nobody will see you like this. But hardly. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, hunger came to such a level, he says, I had to go urinate one evening. So as I began to urinate, I heard that the splatter of my urine on something. So after I finished, I just put my hand forward. There's a piece of leather. They say somehow I washed it and I chewed on it just to get some nutrition in my body, on the leather only. Can you imagine now the level of hunger they were going through for 3 long years? Released from there, after 3 years, come out, and now, within short span of time, within the month, Nabi Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loses his wife, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha, the one that gave birth to all Israel, loses his wife. Then few weeks later, loses his uncle, Abu Talib. Then he decides now, let's go to Taif. Maybe they'll give us asylum. They'll give us shelter. They'll take care of us. And we know what happened in Taif. The whole tables turn against him. Now he might think. Sometimes we think also, that okay, I did certain amal, Allah will see me right. Like Allah Ta'ala is bound to my amal. Dunya is darul imtihan. Allah is going to test you. But then to Allah Pak is so kind. He's still pulling us through. The Nabi of Allah is going, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and look at the treatment. The Nabi of Allah, we would have thought that door will be open now. So much qurbani you gave, there'll be an open door. Come, you welcome. It was absolutely the opposite. That's why that year is called Amul Huzn. Huzn translates as depression, grief, sorrow. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam went through that whole year of depression. When they had to return, two daughters married two brothers, right? Then even those two son-in-laws, their father told them, divorce these two girls. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling him to desist from his da'wat. Stop what you are doing, he's just stopping. So let's hurt him where it pains the most. Let's hurt him where it pains the most. He lost his wife. You two sons of mine, divorce both the daughters and go leave them at home. I can imagine the pain of that now. Both daughters are brought back home, divorced. So two daughters going through the divorce, that's what Nabi Ali has to go through. Three sons he had to bury with his own hands. He lost his three sons in infancy. Already we can think, if we had to cope with that, you see, Allah, what's more to live for now? What else are you going to throw at me? What more am I going to go through? Going on now, till finally, for our understanding, freehold everything, properties, businesses, conveyance, we're living a comfortable life. Now you said, uproot and move. Now hijrat, uproot, leave behind everything. And more than that, leave Ka'batullah. At least there I get some sukoon of my heart. There at least I get some consolation of sitting at Baytullah. And there, even we feel that the sukoon, itminan, as if now my Allah is here, is listening to me. That will be, leave that also now. And go to Medina Munawwara. Go there with nothing. Sahaba Ikram also nothing. So all that ulama say, those that are going through whatever depression, difficulty, mind is racing the wrong way, negativity, go read the seerah. I see how your mind will get stuck in. Oh, Nabi, how did you go through it? Now you're feeling his grief, you forget your grief. And in that feeling his grief, in reality, your heart becomes alive with the nur of the love of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Before you know it, now you are crying in his love. What happens? You forgot yourself. You forgot your own grief. Nabi, how you did this? Burying your own children, and then your daughters becoming widows, getting divorced, and now you have to move and then leave them behind. Zainab radiallahu anha was the eldest daughter. The Zainab radiallahu anha, at the time of the nubuwwat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, she was only 10 years old. She was 10 years old. And the riwayat says also that one day Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went through a difficult time. Sahaba, the mushrikeen of Makkah manhandled him, threw him to the ground. He was a shriveled body full of dust. And the riwayat says a beautiful young girl came running with a bowl of water, running to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and presenting the water to him. There were tears in her eyes. Oh my father, how much longer will you go through this? It was Zainab radiallahu anha. Then he told, oh my Zainab, the time will come when your father's deen will prevail. Every baked home, unbaked home, the deen will enter into every single home. So she saw all the qurbani. Then he came to the time of her qurbani also. But she was married. So the other two brother-in-laws came to her husband and told him also, you send Zainab back home. We're sending our wives home. We're going to hurt Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam till he gives up what he's doing. So you also do the same thing. He says, I can't do it. I don't have the himmat and the courage. I love Zainab too much. I can't do that. But they pressurized him. But alhamdulillah, he didn't. But the Qurbani she had to go through. So she accepted Islam. He didn't accept Islam. The time for Hijrat came. So he told her, you want to leave, you may leave. So she got ready to leave. So as she began to leave, then the Mushrikeen of Makkah saw her in a conveyance, broad daylight, you're leaving, where are you going? You can join my father, you can't. So the one wretched Mushrik of Makkah, with a spear, he injured her in her belly. And she was expecting that time. She fell. She fell from the camel, and the child was aborted. Royal blood. Abortion. Not abortion, miscarriage. Now you know in our home, my daughter has to miscarry, ya Allah. The whole house is in mourning now. Right? Almost 8 months, 7 months miscarriage. Ya Allah. You know what we go through. How the little girl, what she goes through. The mother can't handle it also. And that's when Nabi Ali went through. So she couldn't join. She had an injury. Finally, then she was allowed to. After some time, then she had to go alone. Leave her husband behind. Came to Madinah al-Munawwara without the husband. By then she had a child already. She had one child already by then. But no husband with her. Then came the battle of Badr. And her husband came on the side of the Mushrikeen against her father. Son-in-law against father-in-law. Went through that also. But they're still in Nikah. So all the rules hadn't been revealed as yet. Now you can imagine, as a father, what you're going through now. My daughter, son-in-law on that side, her grandchildren on this side. What goes through your mind? But then he was captured. Then the whole mashwara took place. What do we do with the prisoners of war? Then Allah Ta'ala revealed, after mashwara, that okay, take the ransom from them. Take the ransom from them. As Zainab radiallahu anha, she sent the ransom on behalf of her husband. What ransom she sent? The necklace that she received from her mother Khadija radiallahu anha. The Nabi of Allah opened it and he saw, oh, my Khadija's necklace. Tears came to his eyes. Then he asked Sahaba Ikram, with your permission, if you wouldn't mind, would release my son-in-law without any ransom. Nabi of Allah, you have liberty. But then he called him forward. This was, she hadn't come as yet. She hadn't come as yet. So he released him, told him on condition of releasing you. Send my Zainab away. When he came back, she's anticipation. She's sitting behind him, Makkah Mukarram. Husband is gone marching against Nabi Ali Salat. When he comes back, and she's, the riwayat says, when he walked in, she was joyous, he returned alive. She sent the ransom from Makkah Mukarramah. When he returned, he says she returned, and when he walked in, there was no smile on his face. He already perceived something had happened. What's the problem? They have to pack up and leave. But for what? Made an agreement with your father. That is when the whole incident took place. Then she came. The long incident, but if you, as I'm saying, as we read the seerah, those that are in depression will forget the depression also. Then she comes from Madinah to Al-Munawwara, and they also now, some few years later, he was going on an expedition, her husband, or some mushrikeen of Makkah, business expedition. And then they were looted by the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Mal ghanimat. So they brought everything. And they escaped. Husband escaped with those few mushrikeen. She was at home. And the house was just outside Masjid al-Nabawi. So at night, she hears a knock on the door. Who is it? He says, it's me. She gets a shock of her life. She opens the door. Is that a Muslim? She says, you can't come inside. She said, me come and sit one corner only. What are you here for? Now she was actually joyous. Maybe he accepted Islam. Have you accepted Islam? No. No. You can't enter. He says, no, they've taken our booty and I've come to ask you on our behalf to intercede and release our booty. Give it back to us, we'll go back to Makkah Mukarramah. But you can't spend the night here. I'll sit one corner. Entire night he spent there. Imagine I was going through her heart. My husband, I've got children, finally he's come. We never had a problem. Then the Rewaya says, the next morning, Nabi Ali Salatu Salam goes into the Musalla of Nubuwwat to perform the Salah. Iqamat is finished. Iqamat is finished and she sticks her head into the doorway of the masjid and she shouts, Ya Rasulullah, my husband is here at home. Nabi Fala starts the namaz. After namaz, he turns around. Yo Sahaba, did you hear something before namaz? The Nabi Fala, we heard. It was Zainab. He heard. Then he goes, he says, Rabbi of Allah, he's come. He's not a Muslim. This is his request. I intercede on his behalf. He would release whatever goods were stolen from him and his men. Let him return it to them. I imagine the father, daughter, was going through his heart again now. He goes to Sahaba Ikram. Those Sahaba that have looted the caravan, would you all, your own free will, return everything? Rabbi of Allah, what brings joy to you brings joy to us. You will return it. To gather everything together, told him, you can take it and you can leave. What's going through our heart again now? So he takes everything, goes to his people, returns it to them. Everybody got everything? He says, we've received everything. I make you witness, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And he comes back to Medina Munawwara. With a different face now. And a short span of time, because of that wound she sustained when she was making hijrah, he loses her also. Zainab is gone. Nabi of Allah buries her with his own hands. So one by one like this now. Sahaba Ikram went through. They say that study the seerat, you fall in love with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and you forget your grief also. So to continue with this beautiful kitab, the final days of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is actually beautiful, is heart-rendering. The comfort of the spouses, despite the fact that distributing the nights equally between his pure wives was not obligatory upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as is the ruling in regard to other men of the ummah. They have now more than one wife, they have to distribute the nights and the days. That has to be equal. For this wasn't farz upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He still maintained this equality until he reached the point where he could not manage anymore. Now the fever was too much and the pain, the headache was too much for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Furthermore, he asked him permission and did not force it on them. As the Zawj ibn Tahara, will you permit me now? Will you forego your night for me? This was the extent that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to ensuring consideration to the feelings and comfort of his respected wives. This is what our Akabir all is teaching us. Wa'ashiruhunna bil ma'ruf. Treat them kindly. Now, Alhamdulillah. What do they say? Alhamdulillah. We all have one wife. More than one, then you have to be equal. But now, we still have a problem. We got one wife, but the cell phone. As if that's the first wife. You know, the person got his hobbies, then that becomes the first wife, and the wife is actually crying. Give me time. Give me time. That too is a problem. The Nabi Ali is so sensitive to this. Be equal with them and to take their permission also. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding and tawfiq. A great lesson indeed in fulfilling the rights of others, especially one's spouse, and seeing to their comfort. Many men ask, what about my rights then? Don't hear about the woman. Quran says, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. They treat them kindly. They're the weaker of the two. So, treat them kindly. Be good to them. Whatever rights you have upon them, they have upon you also. وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Whatever rights you have upon them, they have equal rights upon you also. But then the men say, but only we given this hidayah, that you must be kind to them. Well, they're making enough khidmat already. The khidmat they are doing, they're running the house. Hadassah says, you sit one day at home with five children and see how your tarbiyat will get made. You just change one diaper, there's another one now. Yeah, doesn't end this now. We've got a factory running over here. Doesn't end. He says, but they're doing it. They sleep a secondary. You know, when we're tired, but said, just please close the door. I need to sleep. They're not closing the door for them. The door is open. It's any time. Just got some sleep now. Another baby came. Another child came. I want to eat. I want to play. I want to do this. There's no break for them. And for us, subhanAllah, when we're tired, the kings will treat us. Put the aircon on, close the blinds. And when you rest a little while, you're very tired. We sit with the children. Allah Ta'ala says, treat them kindly. Advice to Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. 6 days prior to the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam summoned certain Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum to the home of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. On seeing them, tears began to flow from his blessed eyes. This was muhabbat. This was true love for the love of Allah. This was his Sahaba, his companions, the sacrifice for the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam showed them his feeling and his love for them also. It was mutual muhabbat and mutual love. Upon seeing them, the tears began to flow from the blessed eyes. Somebody asked this few weeks ago, we were in White River, what does it, Abdul Hamid Sahib, the Marakatu? Was it before that? Somebody asked Hazrat also. In some riwayat, you'll find some Sahaba Ikram say that we never looked at Nabi Ali Sahib. We didn't have the courage to look at him in the face. That was now the exemption to the normal rule. So we can't even describe him. Whereas other Sahaba radiallahu anhum described Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to the last detail, minutest detail. So somebody asked Hazrat, when the Shaykh is giving bayan, should we look at him in the face? They say, we asked Hazrat Hakim Sahib the same thing. Hakim Sahib says, Rahmatullah Alayhi, says that in the meeting of the eyes, there are deep gestures of muhabbat and love. That the eyes must meet. He said, between the murid and the Shaykh also, between the student and the ustad, they said, there's signals and gestures of muhabbat and love. He said, don't put your head down. Some have that naturally. They're shy, they're modest. Right? But he says, the eyes have to meet, and then there's muhabbat. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahimullah, you should look at them also. Put muhabbat and love. Then you can understand from this now. Sahaba Ikram walked in, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw them, and the tears began to flow. The Hakim Sahib Rahimullah had this habit also. And this is all from the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. That when some alim used to walk in, or somebody close to him came late also, he would say, Hazrat, I'll get the shifa, I come to the front. And he would smile at him walking in. Umar bin Khattab used to do the same thing. A Badri Sahabi used to walk in. It happens one time. Sahabi came in, sat at the back, he called in front. Sahaba Ikram said, oh, Amirul Mu'mineen, he came late. You don't know who he is. He was here before all of you. He was here. Now what do you say? He said, Purana became cold now. Not moving anymore. He's gone cold now. Mekul Mulaqat. But he's taken the trophy, he's gone ahead. So the Hakim Sahib also will call them. Oh, that was muhabbat. He will say, I would like the ulama sitting in front. Because I got muhabbat with them. When I speak, they understand me. And from their reaction, this is what muhabbat generates. Then I want to give more after that. So on seeing them, tears began to flow from his blessed eyes. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then made dua for the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum in the following words. We read this before. So beautiful dua he made for his sahaba radiallahu anhum. Welcome to you. Tell them, welcome to you. May Allah Ta'ala bless you with good lives. May Allah Ta'ala protect you. May Allah Ta'ala grant you refuge. May Allah Ta'ala assist you. May Allah Ta'ala elevate you. May Allah Ta'ala guide you. May Allah Ta'ala bless you with sustenance. May Allah Ta'ala bless you with tawfiq. May Allah Ta'ala bless you with peace. May Allah Ta'ala bless you with his acceptance. Make du'as for them. That's why we learn to make du'as for our wives. Hazrat teaches us also. After every meal, make du'a for the wife. May Allah Ta'ala give you barakat. Allah Ta'ala keep you happy. Allah Ta'ala keep your heart happy. All those that you love and love you, may Allah Ta'ala bless them also and appreciate them. The children also make dua. Right? We're shouting them more than we make dua for them. Make dua for them. People around us, dua must be something which is freely. Carry on giving duas. As a teacher or somebody tell you, by make dua. Don't say inshallah, make dua for him. Allah give you qabuliyat, Allah Ta'ala give you afiyat. They're asking you for dua. It mustn't just become now, what do you say, same, just kalam, you know, we just say it. But he's asking you to make dua. So make dua for the person. After making this dua, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam addressed them saying, I advise you to hold on to taqwa. I appoint Allah tabarak wa ta'ala as a guardian over you. And I leave you in his protection. This is the ummah. Indeed, I am a clear warner for you, warning you to not consider yourself higher than the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning his servants and lands. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said to me, as well as to you, تلك الدار الآخرة نجعلها للذين لا يريدون علوا في الأرض ولا فسادا والعاقبة للمتقين. That home that is آخرة. تلك الدار الآخرة. Allah Ta'ala says that is the abode of the hereafter we assign to those who do not desire exaltedness in the earth. علوا means they don't want name and fame. The Urdu say gum nam. That nobody must know me, I'm happy. Just do my work quietly and carry on. Allah Ta'ala says Jannat is for those people. No, not those that want to be known. Yes, there are certain times that we need to express to people who you are. There are different proofs in Sharia and Dalail. Well, sometimes you have to tell people, well, like one Sati said, I was going for Gush. I was going for Gush, a certain town, doing his chilla. So, I mean, Sapa pointed to him and said, but you join him, you join him. The Sati was Tanga Sati, very jovial and jokey. During Gush also, but they say, Masgari kare. Only making some jokes, something. Even the guy is sweet in Gush, putting one in his mouth. He said, I was joking with all this. Saatis with me now, because you're on Gush now, in a different town, city, somewhere in Johannesburg. And then he says that the Reber and Mutakallim all were there. So the Reber knocked the door, somebody opened, man came out, they shook the hand of the Reber, Salaamu Alaikum, Muftisab Khariyat. Then the Amir Sahib, Muftisab, Salaamu Alaikum, how are you? They all Muftis over here. They say, me, I'm kuzaring them now. They say, I realize all ulama in this Jamaat over here. They didn't tell me. They're sending all ulama and I'm making masti with all of them. So that time now, to save my embarrassment, now he felt so embarrassed now. Now he didn't know how to get out of the situation. He told him, maaf karajo, I didn't know all ulama in the Jamaat. I'm making jokes and nudging this guy during Gush and telling the guy, yeah, Ritir Kalima, don't play around. And all the ulama, they all said, gee, Jazakallah, you reminded us. He realized all the muftis and ulama in the Jamaat. So that home of the hereafter we assign, that is akhirat, jannat, we assign to those who do not desire exaltedness in the earth or corruption. They don't want to be known and they just want peace. And the best outcome is for the righteous. Allah Ta'ala says also, أَلَيْسَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَثْوَى لِلْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. Is there not in Jahannam an abode for the arrogant? Rasulullah SAW thereafter said, the appointed time of my demise has drawn near. And the return to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to the Sidratul Muntaha. To the Sidratul Muntaha, a lotus tree in the seventh sky, which is beside the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saw during his mi'raj, in the Sidratul Muntaha, in the Jannatul Ma'wa. So he says, and the return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the Sidratul Muntaha, a lotus tree in the seventh sky, which is beside the arsh, to Jannatul Ma'wa, to the cup of full measure, and to the most high companion, the time has drawn close now. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum inquired, at that time when you pass away, who should give you ghusl? Who should give ghusl to your blessed body? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, the members of my household, in the sequence of those who are closest to me and then those who are next closest. They asked thereafter, in what should we enshroud you? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in this clothing of mine, if you so wish, or in a set of Yemeni clothing, or in white cloth from Egypt. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum then began to weep and inquired, who should perform your salatul janaza? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, do not worry. May Allah ta'ala forgive you and reward you well on behalf of your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So where is any leeway in all of this for the Shia to come in and say, Sahaba ikram, na'uzu billah, Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Aisha, what terrible things they have to say. Look at the love. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, these are all riwayat comes in hadith. And you can't even reject them also. Making dua for them. May Allah Ta'ala forgive you. May Allah Ta'ala reward you on behalf of your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you give me ghusl and place me on my bed in this home of mine, at the edge of my grave, then exit from the room for some time. The reason is that the first to perform salah upon me will be my friend and companion, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Thereafter Mikail alayhi salatu wasalam. Thereafter Israfil alayhi salatu wasalam. Thereafter the angel of death with his armies, and thereafter all the other angels. Then you may come in thereafter. Then you should all enter in groups and perform salah upon me and send salam on me. Do not cause me grief by allowing a crying woman, a wailing woman, or a singing woman to enter upon me. That time, the days of Jahiliyyah, they used to hire women to come and cry in the janazah house, to make other women cry. They should pay them for it. So don't do these things of Jahiliyyah now. And for women to cry aloud also, they say they should contain themselves. Cry within your space. Don't cry aloud. But this is more about now, when they used to hire women to come and cry. They are singing women there also. The men of my household should perform salah upon me first, and thereafter the rest of you. Convey my salams to yourselves from me. As for my brothers, so those that were there were called the Sahaba. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to say about his brothers, he referred to you and I, the ummah that will come. As for my brothers who are absent, convey salams from me to them. So we should reply, wa alayka wa alayhi salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Imagine the compassion of Nabi alayhi, he didn't forget us at that time also. And just now, on Friday night, Hazrat gave a whole bayah just on what is salam only. What just salam? Which is to be granted. Nabi alayhi salatu salam is conveying salams to us. What is salam? They say the first meaning of salam is peace. He say, tell my ummah, I'm sending peace for them. May Allah Ta'ala keep them in with peace. Second meaning, As-Salam. As-Salam is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-Salamu al-Mu'minu al-Mahiminu al-Azizu al-Jabbaru al-Mutakabbir. What does it mean? May Allah who is Salam be with my ummah. I'm sending that Salam for my ummah. Third meaning, when we say As-Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, it means now that, O my Muslim brother, you are safe from me. Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. Who is a Muslim? A Muslim is that person from whom other Muslims, meaning the entire humanity, is safe. مِنْ لِسَانِهِ وَيَدِهِ From his tongue and his hands. So may you be safe amongst yourselves from one another. Give my ummah salams. That they should look after one another. To convey my salams from me to them. And as for the one who enters your deen with you after me, then I make you witness upon myself that I convey salam to him and to every person who follows me upon my deen from today until the day of Qiyamah. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum then asked, O Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who from amongst us should lower you into your qabr, into your grave? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, the men of my household together with abundant angels who can see you while you do not see them. From here we mentioned the last time also, look at the preparation for mawt already. Allah Ta'ala give me all of us tawfiq. That now we discuss these things at home also. The wife also. Why discuss the husband? If I have to pass away, who give my ghusl? My kafan is ready. Before the old people had the habit. Right? That zamana, they should go hajj once in a lifetime, they take the kafan and go. Wash it in zamzam. Then they should wrap it up and keep it. Children knew the kafan is ready. Today now, we don't even think about it. We're so busy. We are so busy. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we get our kafan prepared already. Thing is done. Is ready over there. Tell the family, put in a whole wasiyat. Who give my, who I would like to give my ghusl, who shall perform my salatul janaza, who will come in the qabr with me also. These are all far thinking. And subhanAllah, we learn all this from our Hazrat Wala also. Hazrat was telling us also now over the weekend. The clip came out also yesterday morning. Majlis Mawlana had, last Fazal, we were there also. Had it in Mayfair. Hazrat mentioned also when the madrasa was formed in Darul Mazadwal, he said then I had a committee. Trustees of the madrasa, he says, Allah Ta'ala put in my heart also all the trustees of ulama, for 10 of them. And I chose only those that either they gave chilla in the path of Allah or they had some nisbat with some sheikh. Those ulama I had that were part of it. And people told me, they say, this madrasa will never be successful. You need some high profile businessmen on your board. Otherwise, it's going to collapse. They say, Allah has come, Allah will do it. Allah has come. They have their place, we have our place. This is our calmness. This is our calm. So you say, oh, yeah, ulama, alhamdulillah, but it's actually karima. Allah shukr. Then Hazrat mentioned also, so look at the far thinking now. They have these type of ulama that either give one 40 days in the path of Allah, or 40 days in the khanka, or has some nisbat and connection with some sheikh. Why? When they raise their hands, they'll make dua for the madrasa. They're thinking deen only. They're thinking deen only. So look at the fast thinking of the ulama ikram and how they made the effort and how they set up the structures for us to think ahead also. And Ajib Moana gave some incidents about the madrasa that some other time we'll discuss it. The brothers can listen to the recording, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala gives tawfiq. We'll continue next week with this kitab, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika nashhadu.